Welcome to the Central Assembly Podcast. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
And we're celebrating spring in Springfield, Missouri. Praise the Lord. So Daniel, it was 20 years ago. Where did you go, Daniel? 20 years ago that I was on one of those Chi Alpha expeditions trips. And I was with a group and we were going into a country in the Arab world. Now, I might make a few connections tonight that it was my brother-in-law that was on the guitar here. And he and my husband were college roommates, both part of the Chi Alpha ministry. My husband was the leader. And my sister and I, who's sitting on the second row here, we were the Johnson sisters, known for our parents pastored a local Assembly of God church, our parents and grandparents. My grandmother's back in the back, Corrine Spillman, so it's fun to have family here. And so we were pastor's kids in Tucson, Arizona. We went to Chi Alpha when we attended the University of Arizona. We were Wildcats through and through. My sister was still in high school. The first time I went to Chi Alpha, I drug her with me because I didn't want to go by myself. We both had like big old Bibles under our arms because we were like good church girls, equivalent to the fire Bible. We came up here, sat on the front row, and I remember leaning to my sister. We're 14 months apart. She's younger than me, but don't, you know, make a big deal out of that. I remember whispering to her, I said, Cindy, I think I have found my people. And can I tell you, 25 years later, still a part of Chi Alpha leadership, I definitely have found my people, as my husband and I have led in this movement for many years. Ooh. But, so 20 years ago, part of Chi Alpha, I was a part just as we prayed about the expeditions that have gone on this spring break. I was a part of one of those expeditions. My husband and I, we were newly married, and we were leading a trip into the Arab world. We had been sending waves and waves of teams into this country, going from city to city, carrying Bibles, asking that that God would let us bring the kingdom of God into this country. And this particular trip, I was halfway through. We were with a group of leaders, so it was a fantastic trip. It was halfway through the two-week trip, and we had gone over this very large mountain range. I thought it would be a three-hour journey. It ended up being a seven-hour journey on mostly dirt roads in which there was a mountain on one side and a cliff to your death on the other side. And that was the seven-hour journey. We get to our little hotel that we had found. Remember, this is 20 years ago, so there was no, like, Travelocity or anything. I mean, we literally had a book that we had booked some kind of a hotel in this little Berber village on the edge of the hugest desert in the world. And we had booked this hotel. When we get there, very tiny village, really in the middle of nowhere. We had risked our lives literally to get there. We get to this hotel, and it's really kind of a pretty hotel. But when we walked in, what we realized is it had been built 10 years earlier because they had filmed a motion picture movie in this town, like in the desert next to it. So they had built this hotel. But honestly, I do not think it had been inhabited over the 10 years since that movie had happened. So we went in, and there was thick dust all over the bed, all over everything in the room. There were bugs on the floor and cockroaches on the walls. And we got there after the death-defying seven-hour drive. We got there, and somehow we have to sleep. I have no idea how we did it. My husband said we sleep in our safe suit, which means fully clothed, under no sheets, and just speak in tongues and pray that God helps us sleep a few hours through the night. So there's how this journey started. We woke up the next morning, and we do what we always do on these expeditions where we're in villages that are unknown to us and places that we are asking God, how do we best bring the kingdom? We go on a prayer walk. So we divided up. We thankfully made it through the night. The guys went one direction. The girls went one direction. It was a very tiny village that only took us about 30 minutes to prayer walk through the entire village. The girls get back, and after that 30 minutes of prayer walking, we had felt such a spirit of oppression and prejudice and unwelcoming that by the time the guys got back from their prayer walk, the only thing we could say was, get us out of here. We had no compassion for this city. We didn't sleep. We didn't feel a welcoming spirit. So when they got back, they're like, we're like, it's early enough. Let's get on that bus and take that 7-hour ride and get out of here. Well, the guys, on the other hand, they had come back from this prayer walk where they had walked the city. They came back just energized, and they said, no, we can't leave. We met a doctor's family that we believe God wants to, that we want to bring the kingdom to. And this doctor is married, and we want you girls to join us because they've invited us for tea and dinner, and God's going to do something great in their home. What can I tell you? We were disappointed. We did not have faith or vision for this city or for this place, and all we wanted to do was get out of there. But all of a sudden, we decided, one of the girls said, okay, we're going to do this, but before we do, let's spend some time in prayer. So we did. We began to pray in that little room. And as we began to pray, one of the young ladies that was with us, she was also a campus leader, stood up in this prayer meeting and began to sing a song that she had recently written. Barren and vast, I see this broken land. No water to soothe, it seems abandoned and dead. But I raise my hands high and yield myself to your name. I see a handful of clouds. Oh Lord, could it be rain? Let it rain in my heart. Let it rain in my heart, soul. Let it rain in my life. Lord, bring the rain. Then she lifted her voice even higher and said, I see the rolling black clouds. I see the light in the sky. I see the thunderous storm. Lord, send your rain. And can I tell you, as her voice echoed in that little hotel room in this little tiny Berber village on the edge of a mountain, on the edge of the desert, we began to break with compassion for this city and this people. We all fell to the ground and began weeping. And I really felt in that little hotel that the Lord transplanted his heart into mine and gave me a new love for the Muslim people that we were there to serve, a new love for this city, and a new love for his work among the lost people of this world. Can I tell you, 20 years later, I am not the same because of that moment in that little hotel room in that little city. That evening, we went to this doctor's home. God gave us such an incredible divine appointment. The husband and wife that were there received the gospel very openly. We began to talk with the woman that was there, and she began to share about her experience in this little village, and she used words like, I feel prejudice, and I feel overwhelmed, and I feel like I want to run away, and I want to get out of the city. And all of those emotions that we have felt on the prayer walk, she began to explain that that is what she walked through living in this little Berber village. The Lord used that we could bring the kingdom of God to this city. You see, as we have begun a series moving to Easter to seek God for the city, last week we talked about revival, that in order for awakening to come, which is what we're going to be talking about and contending for tonight, that first we need to see revival in our own hearts and spirits. And that moment 20 years ago in that little hotel room, revival came to our hearts and our spirits. As it says in 2 Chronicles 7:14, a very common verse, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and will heal their land. As we sat on the edge of the desert asking for the rain of the Spirit to come to the land, asking for revival in our hearts and awakening for the lost of that place, we began to see the storm clouds come of rain, of revival. 20 years later, I was speaking recently to a Christian worker in this country, and they were telling me how there are house church movements that are growing all over this country. We spent years and years seeding the gospel, and now an indigenous house church movement is growing. Let awakening come to our land, and let it start with us. In 1806, at Williams College in Massachusetts, in the scene of discouraging anti-Christian rioting, there was a small secret band of Christians, well burdened by the deplorable conditions in the country. They met twice a week to pray for the lost of their country. Little did they know how abundantly God would use these prayers to make an impact on not only their campus, but also on the entire country. However, the beginning of their global influence for Christ was much less dramatic. They began to gather twice a week on campus, and one of those prayer meetings on a Tuesday afternoon, they began to see storm clouds gather, and they gathered under a maple tree to pray. The rain started coming so heavy that they soon had to go under a haystack in order to continue to pray during this downpour. The group's leader, freshman Samuel Mills, began to guide the discussion toward the topic of foreign missions. He contended that it would be impossible for the masses of Asia and Africa to hear the gospel unless the students from Christian nations were willing to dedicate their lives to the cause of the Great Commission. As he shared his vision for world evangelization, he said, "We can do it if we will." Drawn by the challenges of their commitment, this group attracted the cream of the crop student leadership on campus. 4 years later, they asked their denomination to send them out as missionaries. Prior to this, history suggests there was not a single American engaged in preaching the gospel overseas. The missionary boards that would soon form all the missionary boards that soon form all owed their origins to a group of students from William College, who had caught God's vision for their country and for their world underneath a haystack. How many of you have heard of the haystack revival that spurred an awakening in our culture, that awakened America from darkness into light, and there was a strong coming to Christ in the nation, and a missionary movement that the Assemblies of God is a part of today, gathered as people came under a haystack and began to pray that revival would come to the church and it would impact the lost of the community. People who study Great Awakenings in our fantastic Seek God for the City, this is the week that we are contending for awakening. Contending every time a soul comes to Christ, there is an awakening that happens in that person. We cannot save anyone in the flesh, correct? It is by the Spirit. Spirit gives birth to Spirit, and an awakening happens when a soul comes to Christ. But there are times and there are seasons where there are great awakenings, where people come to Christ in masses as the Holy Spirit falls on a culture, a people group, a generation, or a time. As people have studied these historical awakenings, there are five consistencies in these awakenings. There is repentance. People have a heart and a passion to repent of their sins. Restitution, you make right what is wrong. During the period of the Second Great Awakening that was birthed out of this haystack revival in the 1800s, students were going to their teachers if they had cheated on a test, and they were making it right. There was repentance and restitution, just like Zacchaeus made things right. These awakenings were led by people with prophetic voices, people that stood up and spoke to their generation and called them to awaken, to revive to what God was going to do. There were prophetic voices, there was supernatural manifestation, and there was great missionary fervor. You see, when our hearts are truly revived, the only place we can go is to the lost of our city and the lost of our nations. In May 2016, my husband and many other campus leaders, as they were gathering, began to hear from the Holy Spirit that we are going to see the greatest student awakening this earth has ever experienced. We are believing that awakening is not in the past, it is in the future. And God is calling us as a church to contend for awakening. As we look forward to what God is doing, can I tell you, in the campus ministry world, those of us who work with students and young people, you might watch Fox News and find no hope for this generation, but can I tell you, when you walk with students, there is hope, and God is doing great works among this generation. Let us not be Jonahs. Let us not be Jonahs that will not cover and contend for an awakening from this generation because we see no hope. Because if you get with students and young people, you will have hope that God, the storm clouds are coming, and there is signs of awakening. This last year on San Antonio, the University of Texas at San Antonio, they baptized 60 students. We're seeing healings all over the nations, baptisms in the Holy Spirit. Tonight, as we come to contend for our city, can I tell you, this is not little. What we're doing tonight is not little. It's not contained to those of us gathered here on a Wednesday night. It's not contained in one place. God is wanting to bring revival and awakening to our nation. And can I tell you, when I started as a pastor at Central Assembly a year ago, I came here to contend for awakening. Because can I tell you, I do not want to be passed over. Because oftentimes, if revival do not spur awakening, my friends, oftentimes in history, there has been a split off from the church in order for awakening to happen. And I say, no, Lord, do not pass us over. God, let us stand in the gap. Let us pray. Let us contend for the lost. This movement that we're looking toward, what are some components of this great awakening that we see coming to our earth? It will be an awakening of kingdom abandonment, people willing to spend time abiding in Christ, because he is the only one that can produce the kind of awakening that God is wanting to send to this earth, a people of kingdom abandonment, a people of kingdom courage. Can I tell you, friends, I believe the seed of courage is vision. Why could Joshua cross the Jordan River with such boldness and courage? Because he had vision of the promised land. Why was Moses willing to stand with people joking him and jeering at him? Because he had vision of an ark. Why was Jesus able to walk with such courage? Because he had vision of the cross and he understood his destiny. My friends, if we do not have vision for an awakening in our city, our country, and our world, we will not have courage to walk where the Lord needs us to walk to see it happen. Pastor Anthony, last week, he talked about being at the CMN, our Church Multiplication Network conference, and he saw great kingdom courage as people are going to being called to the urban centers of our cities, being called to college campuses, being called all over to the dark places of our city and our nation and our world in order to see awakening. Who's ready to raise their hand and say, Lord, pick me. I'm ready to cross this Jordan with kingdom courage. We're going to expect kingdom power. Can I tell you, I plan to see signs and wonders among the lost of our world, but the greatest kingdom power necessary is to see the lost come to Christ. There is no greater kingdom power than when we say a lost one saved. Kingdom discipleship. Sometimes awakenings and revivals are lost because there's not kingdom discipleship. A church that's willing to walk with people from the milk to the meat of the word. And to full maturity where we see disciples making disciples. And lastly, this awakening is going to come with kingdom covering. And church, I do believe this awakening is going to start with young people, and it may look different than you expect and than I expect. But as it says in the last chapter of the Old Testament, sorry, my notes. He shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers. friends, this awakening needs a covering of mothers and fathers that are going to go out in the highways and the byways and say, yes, we will cover what God is doing on our campuses, in our high schools, among the young people, in our culture. Let us be a people that will cover the work of the Holy Spirit that he is wanting to do in and through us. An awakening of kingdom abandonment. An awakening of kingdom courage, an awakening of kingdom power, kingdom discipleship, and kingdom covering. If I could ask our musicians, our pianists to come forward, I'd like for you to all stand.